And as the crisis deepens there in Egypt, debate is growing about the U.S. role. Democratic Senator Carl Levin, who chairs the Armed Services Committee, says he wants to suspend U.S. aid to Egypt until the interim government amends the Constitution and schedules elections. There's more than $1.5 billion in assistance at stake. That's what the U.S. gives to Egypt each year. It's one of the many reasons Egyptians call the U.S. Mother America, and not necessarily in a nice way. Michael Hanna is a senior fellow at the Century Foundation and an expert on U.S. policy in the region. He's with us now from New York. And Michael, let's start with public opinion on the ground there. If there's one view of the U.S. by Egyptians, what is it?
Well, at the moment, and it's obviously a heightened time of tension, it appears that all parties believe that the United States is assisting their opponent. While much of the criticism is that the United States is being meddlesome, it's often followed with a slightly incoherent rejoinder that they want the United States to agree with them and side with them. So it's a very delicate balancing act. And I think we see a lot of the hangover of many years of stagnant policy toward Egypt when it was on cruise control and we supported a repressive stability that I think is no longer there on offer for any Egyptian ruler.
Well, what do we know about what happened most recently, the overthrow of Morsi? What was the U.S. role there, if any, or do we know?
Well, several press accounts have depicted the United States trying to forge some sort of compromise. And frankly, this is what the embassy should be doing. The United States is Egypt's most important international ally, did not want to see a military intervention into politics because it's problematic. As your reference to Senator Levin made clear, it's problematic on a legal level, potentially. And of course, the United States wants to see stability in Egypt. And obviously, at the moment, that's in question. So I think what the United States Embassy and administration officials were hoping was to forge some sort of consensus outcome that avoided any abrupt interventions, particularly by the military.
And they didn't really get what they wanted there. Is Washington in a position to make demands of the Egyptians, of maybe the military, in exchange for this aid, this $1.5 billion a year?
It's never really worked that way. It's never been effective as leverage. Part of that is because it's such a blunt tool. It's a two-way street. We get benefits out of this as well, and the Egyptian military knows that. And it's always been assumed that we would never that if we ever invoked the aid, that the Egyptian military could rightfully call our bluff. It's a very blunt tool. I think what we do have is stable and consistent relations. We have open channels of communication, as was on display, I think, in this latest chapter. But frankly, when it comes to those perceived interests that rise to the highest level, the Egyptian military, while concerned about maintaining good relations with the United States and trying to cultivate them and fending off sort of abrupt and worst-case scenarios, is clearly going to make decisions as it sees fit.
There's been a lot of criticism even in the last few days that the U.S. hasn't been paying as much attention to Egypt as it should, that the Obama administration hasn't. Are we setting ourselves up for a good relationship with whatever comes now or not?
Some of that criticism, I think, has been overblown and a little unfair. The United States still has a very difficult role to play in Egypt. We are still the primary outside ally of Egypt. And, of course, what we see now is heightened nationalism and, I think, a rising sense of anti-Americanism. I think one message we should be getting across to Egypt's interim authorities is that this needs to stop. To the extent that it has official backing, that this is going to really damage any possibility for a cooperative relationship going forward.
And quickly, Michael, if the U.S. relationship or influence in the region does diminish, who steps in?
I don't think there's any replacement. I think the talk of the United States as having diminished power in the region is somewhat overblown and based on ahistorical accounts of a past where we were able to dictate outcomes in domestic politics. That past never really existed. I think clearly it is a more complicated world now, but the United States remains as the most important outside power in the region. That's just a fact.
Michael Hanna, Senior Fellow at the Century Foundation and expert on U.S. policy in the Middle East. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.